thank you all. We've got some votes at noon, and then I've got something scheduled right after that, so we need to get started, and thanks for joining me. Let me mention, first of all, the President's health care plan. I'll be participating in a news conference at 12:30 Central Time today with the other Republican Senate leaders to frankly call for a permanent delay of the President's health care plan. I mean, they have delayed a key component of it in the last 2 weeks, the requirement that people offer insurance at work or pay a penalty. If you can delay that component for employers, why are you still going to be penalizing and fining individuals and families who may not be able to find insurance on the exchanges that may or may not be available to them? You know, I spoke on the floor on this yesterday. I think my comments are available to you if you want to look at what I was saying yesterday about the record that the administration has accumulated here from deciding not to do the long-term care part of the Affordable Health Care Act, then deciding that the exchange for small business wouldn't be available in January of 2014, now deciding that the penalties for employers wouldn't be enforced in 2015, and waiving the verification requirements for income for people who are going to have taxpayers help pay for their insurance. So suddenly we're in a self-verifying environment where lots of money will go out the door, not much money coming in the door, and no way to really verify whether people are being truthful or just pessimistic about what their income might be, which then qualifies them to get assistance, remember, up to 400% of poverty. I think the best thing to do here with the 3.5-year head start and now the inability to execute the plan would be to find a plan that works. The old system certainly wasn't perfect. There are obvious ways that I've advocated for a long time to improve it, and I hope that happens. Assuming that's not going to happen, or even if it does, I'm soliciting questions online from people, individuals, families, and employers who I think are going to have a number of questions about the environment they're in right now as it relates to the new direction we're headed on health care. Student loans, today there's expected to be a vote that, like everything else in the Senate, or like too many things in the Senate, rather, is expected to fail to just solve the student loan problem. It's not that hard a problem to solve. I happen to think the best solution is the bipartisan solution that I'm a co-sponsor of, along with the initial sponsors, Senator Manchin, Senator King, Senator Alexander, Burr, Ayotte, Carper, and others. This would be a solution that for all student loans would establish a guaranteed rate for the life of the loan and a way you can combine those loans at some future time if you want to consolidate. Plan that the Democrats will offer would be a one-year plan and only for the subsidized student loans, the 70% of the loans that go to middle-income families and middle-income kids wouldn't be covered at all, and they'd be paying a much higher rate than they need to pay. I hope, as a former university president, I hope this is a problem we can solve and solve it sooner rather than later, because lots of families in the next few weeks are going to be making decisions about the loan that they can afford to take and hopefully the loan that they that doesn't exceed their ability to be able to pay the loan back. The EPA nominee, I still have a hold on that nominee. Sent a letter yesterday to the agencies involved saying the only thing you have to do is what you promised to do on February the 27th, which is just agree to the facts. Nobody is asking anybody to spend any money. Nobody's asking anybody to build anything. just on the draft environmental impact statement to agree to the facts. I'm not even saying you all have to have the same opinions on the facts, but the EPA, USDA, Fish and Wildlife, the Corps of Engineers should be able to agree to what the facts are regarding this project, and we are a long way away from doing anything on the project, but you'll never get to where you could make a decision until you have the first draft that everybody agrees to the facts in. The White River National Blueway issue became an issue a few weeks ago. I joined with Senator Bozeman to a letter and other members from Missouri and Arkansas, and the Department of Interior just decided that they would remove that designation, which many of us thought had significant long-term impact potentially on property rights. Farm bills out there, the appropriations bills that we're beginning to vote on, and whatever other topics you all might want to talk about. Samantha Powers, who's the president's the president's nominee to be the UN ambassador, was by to visit with me this morning, and I was glad to get a chance to talk to her about what can happen to make the UN work in a more effective way. So, whatever questions you have, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please ensure your phone is unmuted and record your name clearly at the prompt. Once again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from Kevin Killeen, KMOX. Your line is open, sir.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, about the debate in the House and Senate over how to appropriately punish the IRS for targeting conservatives, Senator McCaskill is saying she doesn't want to be too tough and defund them because it might make tax cheats be more bold and they'll have a field day. What do you think is the appropriate punishment for the IRS for their targeting of conservatives?
Well, I think the IRS did target conservatives. I think they also targeted a number of other organizations, like several pro-Israel organizations. They targeted families who were taking the adoption tax credit. The IRS seems to be focused on things that should not be the job of the IRS to create a target. I'm looking at ways we can give taxpayers more rights in dealing with the IRS, and in fact, I think later this week I'll have a piece of legislation I'll be introducing that will create some rights for taxpayers in dealing with the IRS specifically and other government agencies generally. Clearly, the IRS thinks all the power is on their side rather than on the side of the people they work for, and we need to figure out a way to shift that. At the same time, you do have to be sure that the IRS can do its job, but its job is not to harass conservatives or pro-Israel groups or adoptive parents, and they need to get that message.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Monty Schischler, KRS, KRES Radio. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hello, Senator. ConAgra in Macon announced yesterday afternoon that it was eliminating 29 jobs, and that might not sound like a lot to a lot of people, but in the small town of Macon in northeast Missouri, with ConAgra being one of the area's largest employers, that's about 10%. All they've said is it's reducing their production costs to stay competitive. A couple of questions. One, initial reaction to job loss in a small town like Macon, and second, they've said but not been specific about what help can be given to these displaced workers trying to find employment in the area. And so, one, your thoughts on the cutbacks, and two, how important is it to help these workers stay local?
Well, you know, it's always better to see jobs added than jobs taken away. It's also important that people that provide jobs stay competitive so that the other jobs can survive. Not the job of the federal government to run ConAgra, that's for sure. Not the job of the federal government to provide those private sector jobs, that's for sure. But both the federal and state government do have some opportunities to come in and be sure that people who are displaced from jobs can find some help in getting the skills they need to get another job. You know, in a big city, 29 jobs might not seem like a lot of jobs. In a town like the size of Macon, 29 jobs matters, and hopefully those workers are going to find jobs that they can still afford to travel to, jobs that still provide a paycheck in the community, and hopefully whatever skills they need some help on, we can help find programs to get them that help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Jack Miles, Daily Star Journal. Go ahead, your line is open.
Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Jack.
I wanted to talk with you concerning student loans. My understanding is that President Obama doesn't want a cap, but that there are Senate Democrats who do want a cap. And then if that is the case, as I understand it, that the difference between what you're offering, which would be an 8.25% cap, and what the Democrats some Democrats want, which is a 6.8% cap, that's not a huge difference, and I'm wondering why that can't be resolved, if my understanding is correct.
Well, I think it can be resolved, and actually this is one of those rare opportunities where most Republicans in the Senate, most Republicans in the House, and the administration are very close. In fact, the House generally may be very close to the same position here. I think the only outlier is the majority in the Senate that wants to just extend the current situation for one more year. What you don't want to do is to get student loans in a situation where every year people have to wonder what's going to happen to their ongoing student loan, or how the student loan they got a year ago would change. And so I think we can come up with a solution that allows a consolidation. That's what that cap would really do. If you ever wanted to consolidate your loans, you could do that at a rate that wouldn't exceed 8.25%. But in all likelihood, your loans are going to be at a lower level than that, based on the 10-year Treasury rate, and fixed from the year you get it. So if you get a 10-year Treasury rate, which is now not very high, plus 1.85%, that 2% or so loan is going to be your loan for the life of the loan, unless for some reason you decide it's to your advantage to consolidate all your loans later. Having a fixed rate for the life of the loan is the best thing for students and families. And also the majority alternative in the Senate only applies to the subsidized Stafford loans, as opposed to all, and that's about 30% of the Stafford loans, as opposed to all of the Stafford loans. So the bipartisan plan is more inclusive, it is more certain, it produces a better result, and my belief, Jack, is at the end of the day, something close to the bipartisan plan here is the plan that will be signed into law, and signed into law retroactively, so that no matter what happens here in the next couple of weeks, people who get a loan in the summer will be able to go back to the certainty of a fixed rate loan for the life of their college loan. And, you know, Warrensburg and lots of other college towns, this makes a real difference as people try to figure out what they can afford as they make decisions about paying their school, their tuition, and their other school expenses in just a few weeks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rob Koenig, St. Louis Deacon. Go ahead, your line is open.
Senator, in your discussion with Samantha Powers, I was wondering if Egypt came up, and separately, do you think Congress should consider cutting off U.S. aid to Egypt in light of the military coup?
You know, probably she's going to have her hearing. We did have a good and wide-ranging discussion, and probably one that I shouldn't discuss the specifics of, but she has been an advocate of projecting U.S. values and U.S. power in a what I think is generally a helpful way as we define who we are in the world, and in the case of this job would define who we are in the UN. As Egypt just from my point of view, not speaking for her or the administration, either one, but I think continuing to provide assistance to Egypt is the right thing to do. This is the largest Arab Muslim nation. It has huge impact on what happens in Israel and the rest of the Middle East, and our relationships with the military there have been stabilizing. The effort by the Morsi government to suspend the Constitution, to relegate the judicial system to an area that didn't matter, created a real problem for the opportunities for that democracy to ever really blossom. And I think now what we should be doing is encouraging those currently running the government in Egypt to reestablish elections and a constitution and the rule of law as quickly as they can. And that will happen more effectively with some ongoing United States influence there. And one of the ways to do that is to continue to provide a reasonable level of aid, though not an extraordinary level of aid.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bill Lambrecht, St. Louis Postage Dispatch. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Senator.
Hey, Bill.
On the health care law, your constituents hear quite a lot from you on this issue. Are you or playing any formal or designated lead role in the Senate on health care as you did in the House? And also, do you regard the Obamacare as a good issue for Republican candidates heading into 14 based on polling or your instincts?
You know, what I keep reading on this topic, Bill, is the president's advocates saying how shrewd it is of him to suspend the application of the law until the 2014 elections are out of the way. I think it's interesting that even though it's been 3.5 years since the law was passed, there was no real regulatory effort made until after the 2012 election, and suddenly there are 20,000 pages of regulations that come out after the election, and now the administration decides they don't want to take the next step of the provisions that require workplace insurance to meet new standards until after the 2014 elections. So it seems to me anything you would read on this would suggest that the people that are concerned about the political impact of the president's health care plan are Democrats who don't want anyone to know what's going to happen until they can get yet one more election out of the way. I do think it's important that Republicans in the House and Senate and advocates generally of better health care begin now to talk about the things that could be done to improve the system we had as an alternative to a system that the administration is more and more willing to send signals that it won't work or it's too complicated for them to get prepared for. Again, it's been 3.5 years since the law was signed into effect. You would think that would be plenty of time to have the rules and regulations in place. I think I have time for one more question, then I'm going to go vote.
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you all.